Like a heart of master, introspect yourself. We are, when we write diary, we don't, we give allowance. You see? That, like a third heart of master, you see? Just it, yourself.
That's the thing that's always confused me about the diary. That's why I'm not making excuses, but that's why I haven't kept it. Because how can you be sure that you're being honest with yourself when you put down these
things? I tell you, look at, when you're told to do a thing by a master, why you raise questions first thing? If you don't understand, ask him, why you discontinue? That's your first thing, straight out. There's some reason for that. Mind is a very, I would, cunning friend. He will deceive you. He says, well, look here, you cannot give all your imperfections. You're telling lies. Don't do it. You see? Wait. When you become perfect, only you do it. Both is your God. You begin, the point is, in the beginning, you won't find so many imperfections within you. The more you go into it, you find day and from day to day more. Those which become more in number, they are already existing. But we are not aware of them. Those, you follow the movement? Or when we don't, I am telling a lie, I should not do it. That means you leave off. You never, when a thief is in the room, mind that, I tell you, he will try to just deter your attention to somebody else. You see? He may come here, the thief goes, here the thief goes. He never lets your attention be drawn to him, you see? So mind is a very cunning friend, I would say, so cunning. Thief in the form of a true friend. He was a very, I mean, like a very, I mean, sympathetic man. Look here, you see. Why, you should, you must become perfect. Do some dungeon diary. Not now. Master said, do it. You disobey the orders of the master and obey the dictates of your mind. Something what you don't follow, ask him, you see. There's something at the back of it. If you start, you see, I know quite fully well that you cannot know down all the imperfections of the day. You know Feldman's system of memory? The system, what is called how to dwell memory, that is called Feldman's system of memory. From morn when you rise, just think what you have been doing all through the day. Oh yes, I rose up, I answered the call of nature, I had a bath and take a food, went to you, my work. That's all general. The work was saying, I have come home, that's all. And one or two events might have come to you. No? But when you rose, what were the thoughts striking you in your mind? Even while going to the answer the call, and while bathing after that. That requires going into. The more you go into, the more number you find. In that way, once the memory is strengthened, I tell you, without any payment. And further, our level of criterion, they are distinguishing right from wrong, is also changed. The more you learn, go into the scriptures, your angle vision is changed. For instance, in the beginning, he told me, nice eyes, put a slap on his face, oh, I did all right. It is for that, that your angle of vision. When you later, oh, he called me names. All right. Then when you grow in a well, he called you names, told you something wrong. You also called names, he told you one, you said two, then came four, then eight, like that. If you are not returned, that would remain only one, isn't it? Your regular vision changes, isn't it? So, even if you don't see somebody who told you, thought evil of you, well, you don't say from your mouth that, oh, he's bad. You see? You're reaching there. These failures are to be noted. So, two things are. First, as you go into it, we find more number of shortcomings. And further, the angle of vision has changed, there's still more number. The more it grows, it means you are progressing, I tell you. You know how many shortcomings are within you. Then they go down, number, when you eat out. When they are concerned, you reflect. You see, you can read other smile, you can see what is going on to be on the other side of the wall. Purpose of meditating, that is very definite, you see. Very high purpose. Don't follow the dictates of the mind. If you follow 100%, only then you can have the full mystic out. We only follow what we can modify it by the dictates of mind. Some 10%, 20%, 40%, nobody obeys 100%. This is only one thing to be learned. Then every time, oh yes, he is within, how can I deceive him? Your angle of view will be changing, you see. And when you are cleansed that way, something by outer self introspection, and someone by coming in contact with that power within, then you progress like that. Sometimes Master appears, he is giving him back. Sometimes he is quiet. Sometimes very happy. Sometimes he talks to you. So he turns away his face, it means there is something wrong. We don't know. So that is meant for very high purposes. How are you? 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 I am not exactly, I am not hard to heart talk, is it? All right, as you please. So these certain things, you see, are not giving in talks, regular talks. When you are certain that you go into the bottom of the things, what is what? Each man has the same problem practically, maybe in a little modified form. If you keep up your diaries, I tell you, regularly 3-4 months, like a heart of master, you will change. And be blank. What more concession you want?
Just send it to you like you keep.
You send me blank, I will accept, you see that. You see, how long you will dare to send blank? That's the point. You cannot send. Mind is, I tell you, cunning thief in the form of friend. He will deceive you in a very noble way. You see, he appears very friendly. Hmm? But ultimately, you see that you are let down. What you follow the decrees of mind. Yes.
Now, you just gave very good examples, mostly concerning the thoughts that we have.
Thoughts are very potent, you see.
Yes, well, there is, of course, pride and envy and jealousy and resentment towards others and thinking badly about others, and then, of course, purity or chastity in
thought.
Now, is there any, you sort of leading us very well, and I sometimes sit over this sheet and I think, now what else is there that I have done wrong, and I just am missing sometimes a clue, and I just, you know, is there anything else that you would like to lead us to?
That is just putting in time for meditation, coming in contact with the light and sound principle within. That is what is wanted, that will help you. Yeah, the more progress you will have. Sometimes you people, what do they see? They bring me diary. I see it. All right. Their lives are very pure. And they put in also 2 hours. And there's little progress or no progress. I told them, if your diary, this is correct, then you should have gone to the third plane. You see? You want to be there? If our lives are quite flawless, why should you not progress? Even after putting in time. Or it may be due to wrong way of doing volume, breathing, this and that should be set right. We deceive our own self, actually.
Right.
Well, whatever you remember, put it. Try to think every what thought struck me. Not that what your body did it. Like a very hot toss master, I tell you. Don't spare yourself. And you don't spare your enemy. Don't spare yourself. This is the most dangerous and in a friend, you see, serpent in the form of a friend. He will deceive you. He will just try to retard your progress and just keep you lead away to the negative thing. Attachment to the outside thing. Deter you from going on the way. And instead of shortcomings within our own self, we begin to doubt the master. This is it. I mean the work of the mind. You will do it. At least that way you see there is light, there is sound. That way you see. That are you are convinced. Then why not progress wonderfully further? There is something wrong. Yes?
Yeah? What if you have meditated and of course... Suppose you become ill, or suppose you've been in the hospital, and then you come back, you can't... You may... I'll take me, suppose I was in the hospital.
Yes.
And I should probably meditate 12, 15 hours.
Yes.
Even when I was resting.
In the hospital?
Well, yes, when I was in the hospital.
That's right. That's
all right.
Men get more time. That's
but
right.
Suppose when I came home, and then recuperating, and different things, I mean, just... But you can't go back to pick it up because you haven't had it with you, the paper. So you leave it blank because you don't want to put in this time, or you remember everything. You know that these things helped you to get well, the sound current and but you didn't put anything in because you couldn't be truthful about the exact time. I suppose it's even like the eye. You can't, I don't know how to explain it. So it's empty. It's blank. You feel badly that way too?
That's all right. If for some reason or the other you cannot complete your diary correctly, but you're watching your life. You're watching your life. And you must be progressing too.
Mm-hmm.
When you're putting in more time, sickness gives you more time for meditation.
Yes.
Does it not? If you're putting in more time, there's no flaws like there, you must have more progress. Is it not? Then, in that case, you have not been filled in on account of your eyes not working, that is immaterial. But eyes cannot go on all along the like so, that's
no,
not it.
With the eye, I can't meditate at all, because the eyeball. I mean, if you're in the hospital, you can meditate. I mean, suppose you just go on the Jew for tips or something like that, or different things that bother you. With this, I couldn't meditate because. It seemed like I wanted some of this, I couldn't
see. Well, that's what that was painting, all right. You can hear the sound.
Yes, yeah, that came very clear.
That's right. No, that is only temporary short pieces sometimes. And moreover, I tell you, the most painful it may be if you are just trained in a way to control your attention, even the pain won't be felt. That is when you are dwelt. Feeling comes only when attention is there. Just like when you have to just inject, you see. It's all right, do it, you just control your attention. That is not so pinching, so paining, you see. And otherwise you will feel more. And you see, please, now. Don't listen, please, what she says, because she might be calling names. Calling names, not to you, maybe to somebody.
Yes,
yes. Then I'm calling you, can you go? Come on, come on. What's the matter? This is terrible. who says you'll eulogize, you'll say praise as well at least, he would not like to hear.
Master, may I
raise a question?
Beg pardon? I have another question. It joins on what you were saying.
Yes, yes, more sure. You
say how our mind can deceive us and lead us away from the direction.
Yes.
Yet, one does not want to enter into this as a purely emotional experience. Well, then how am I to come to decide, to judge? I have to use my mind.
You'll get help.
To judge.
You'll get help.
I see, but then earlier you told me that I must not be able to expect to understand and rationalize everything.
Well, yes, intellectually you must grasp the theory, you see. The work that has to be done by a learned man and the unlearned man is the same. You see? You have to withdraw your attention from both sides, then your mind, then your body. You see? And just think, leave off all habits, analyze yourself from the body, that's a practical thing. A learned man say, why should I withdraw myself? Or say, what will I get? There are two men, one is a learned man, the other is unlearned man. You order them, go up there, up the stairs. He says, well, how many steps there are? Well, if I reach to such and such, what will happen? Anybody could slip away, then who save me? So many things you will consider. The man who is on an orange, you run up. So, we have to do things. You see, London man will understand only then he will start. The other doesn't need all that botheration, I tell you. They'll go ahead all at once. Two men, one was a learned man, the other was an unlearned man, both went to a master, are being put on the way. And the master told the learned man, I have charged you double fee. And to the other man who was unlearned, he said, I have charged you only single fee. The learned man knows, I know so much, I am learning so much. Why are you charging me double fee? So he told him, I have to make you first unlearned and then fee. So both they have to do the same thing. Difference lies on the matter. If a learned man is there with experience inside, he will explain the same thing so many ways. Even unlearned man, he goes up and takes you up. He may not be able to quote from so many, masters in the past times or so many a matter of inferences, but he will give you this thing and he will quote only from the vocabulary or the environment he is in. Look here. Christ said, farmers, question, throw seeds. Very nice thing he told them. Though they fall on the stony ground, they won't grow. Though they fall in the hedges, they grow and but retard. Though they should fall on the well prepared ground, they will grow. And this is how he will quote that thing. Well, masters never were educated in any college or university. Do you know in which college Christ read or Guru Nanak read or Prophet Muhammad read? Do you know any college? I don't think so. That's something awakening from inside. They see. It's not a matter of inference, feelings or emotions. It's a matter of seeing. They see and they make others see that.
Master, may I ask a question?
Yes, surely, like an attorney. From the attorney, only God is afraid, I tell you. No, you're more certain. I'll tell you a story later on, but.
Master is a great scholar.
Beg what?
The master is a great scholar, as we know.
is it?
I'm sure his academic attainments have not thwarted his spiritual path.
Yes.
And therefore, I would say that intellectual accomplishments can very often be helpful.
Very often, intellectual attainments is the garland of flowers round the neck of a practical man. He will explain the things in so many ways. In whatever way he will take up, he will tell you something to prove it. At the level of his common sense too, you see. But a learned man without any experience, well, that is it. Won't leave you. That is something loading like a library only. The brain has so many things in the brain, but libraries cannot give you in your brain any practical experience. Learning is good, you see. I'm not denouncing it.
Well, now, I'm going to take the risk of asking a second question.
No, let's go on.
Which probably is an intellectual question, but
that could be best I know.
And it's prompted by the discussion of this sister over here on Yogananda.
Yes.
Now, Yogananda was a great yogi.
Yes.
And in the master's book, The Crown,
yes.
And I think it's around about page 138.
Yes.
I may be off a page or two, but it's...
No,
the master touches on this very subject.
Yes.
In pointing out the highest plane of the yogis.
Yes.
And then he goes on to discuss four additional planes.
Yes.
Sachkhand. And the three higher planes beyond that.
Yes.
And it would be very helpful to me, Master, if you would touch on that subject and tell us a little about those four planes.
Right. Four planes. Well, from the yogi's point of view. From which point of view?
These are the four planes that the Master discusses, which are above the highest plane of the yogis.
Actually, the yogis generally, the stages of yogis too. Some are yogis, some are yogiraj, yogishwar. There are two stages of yogis.
Yes, you mentioned those two stages.
Yes, that's what I said.
And then you go on to discuss Sachkhand,
yes.
Alakadam, and...
That's all. So yogi generally go to the first place, Sansar or Sansar Dham. Yogeshwar goes to the third plane, and he dips into the beyond a bit, isn't it? And the sant, whatever is called, that who reaches the satnam, the two home of the father, two father, you might say. And there is param sant, who transcends even those three high planes and becomes one with the worldless. Is it? These are the stages. There are many people belonging to the first stage and some to the second or third. Few there are who really have transcended beyond the three. And those who are regular in the fourth plane, you see, they are called sons. Fourth plane is just divided, some people mingle up into one, some two. Brahman, Par Brahman, you see something. So, two plane or second, whatever it is, this is the stage of the full effulgence of the wordless God into expression. And then further, just going to be absorbed. Alakhagama Nami Swami, Radha Swami, Nirala or Mahalyal, whatever they call it. So that is the stage of the highest, what are called, termed as Paramsanta. Sute Satsanta, you might say, to Paramsanta. So that's the difference.
Well, now my limited intellect can almost picture Sachkhand, which the Master describes as pure spirit.
Yes.
But then you, the master goes on to describe three planes above the planes of Satchitan, which itself is pure spirit. And that's hard for me to...
No. Mark the difference in the words that I'm using. I said the Satnam is the full expression of the world state of God into full expression is Satnam. It's fully expressed. Higher plane that goes absorbing, you see, until it comes to the world state where there is no light, no sound. So that is above stages. Ultimately, in the world state, there is no expression of light or sound. That comes only when it comes into expression. So you might say the satchans, there are different divisions, you might say, of the satchans. You see? Allah Kadam and ultimate worldless state, what is called, nameless one, Mahadeva or Lara Sunya Swamina.
Well then, Master, would Agam be the first stage of manifestation?
Generally, that power which is in full expression, that takes the form of a guru. He is the Satnam, you see, working in him in the human form. And then Satnam, the duty comes further to absorb the Padma. The guru has also got stages. Guru, Gurudev, Sadguru. You see? Guru is one that the human pale is working. But it is the God in him, you see, working. He is conscious. Gurudev is one when you rise above a physical body that works in the plane second to fourth, up till fifth, to absorb you in the Satnam. That is called Gurudev, means raging form of the Master. Then Satnam is the true Sadhguru. You see? That absorbs you by Seji Allah Kadam like that. So there are stages of the Guru too. We are everybody called a Guru. Guru is a, something given to such a person that whose human power, God is working for the guidance of man, humanity, the guidance of mankind. You see? He sometimes loves you, sometimes asks you, all right, don't do it. You see? At the level of man. But inside he fully conscious, he gives you the right guidance. And when you rise above physical body, it comes in radiant form. What is called Gurudev? Gurudev means Guru, effulgent Guru, you might say. That guides you in the higher plane, second, third, fourth. And last you in the Satnam. And Satnam further, that duty left you. That absorbs you in the world state. And further stages are of the Paramsant, the Santara, going into the Paramsant state. But the only people make no difference. They say everybody is a Guru. You follow me? A bit?
Yeah. Yes.
These are the things given in the scriptures but not differentiated. And we are not convinced unless we begin to see for our own self. As there was one Indramati in the time of Kabir. Even now you find like that those who dwell. He went to the fifth plane, saw Satpurush as Kabir. He told him, Kabir, if you were certain of yourself, why did you tell me before? And he said, had I told you that I am the Satpurush, you would never have believed me. Even now you see, how many there are, yesterday I told you, how many there are who believe. Think master is master. When everything goes all right according to your own wishes and glory, master is greater than God. And anything goes against your wishes, oh, what is that master? Flower may be lying within you, you are not putting it as oh, master, you are in comfort. Master is there to wind up your actions. Wind up the whole of us like a bank with sails, you see. Winding up us. Whatever many things are here, brought into fruit, the other side, sometimes make your soul stronger too. They lose all pinching effects. when you become selfless, you see, then you are safe. Now you, as you progress, itself, you will be more convinced. And with little progress, sometimes we are puffed up. Oh, I know that. Then I tell to him, look, you do that like. Otherwise, you don't have just curse you. So what is the result? The whole science is lost, I tell you. And such like people become defamation to the teachings. No business. Go on with it. You'll have any difficulties there that will solve off on our soul.
Hello and welcome to the satsang from Master Kripal Singh. The lively recording you just heard was the last 30 minutes of a question and answer session titled Mind is a Thief in the Form of a Friend. It was given in Washington, D.C. on 23rd January 1964. Our reader this morning is Claire Stannard. Hi, Claire.
Good morning. The talk today is called Little, Little Things. It was given November 1st, 1972 at the Belmont Hotel, Chicago. Dear brothers and sisters, you are all fortunate because you have got the man body, the highest in all creation, which is next to God. The highest aim in the man body is to know self and to know God. The ultimate goal of all knowledge is the knowledge of the self. The Upanishads ask us, what is that by knowing which everything else is known? For that, God makes an arrangement to bring those who have got a real yearning to search for this ideal in contact somewhere they can be put on the way back to God, which is within you. So body is the true temple of God. But we find the best thing is, if a man is put on the way, he should keep the commandments literally. But it is mind, you know, that defiles everything. Even if we are putting in time for meditation, we find difficulty so that we cannot go on with it. And there are some things that are impediments on the way, the spiritual way. That we know, everybody knows, but I am going to enumerate them as the subject of this talk. First of all, you see, we should stand on our own legs. Don't be dependent on anybody. One saint prays, O God, give me this, that I may stand on my own legs. If I have to be dependent on others, it is better that you take my soul from the body. To be dependent on others is a heinous crime. All evils creep in. So we must have honest earning. All masters have referred to it. Guru Nanak said, he who earns his money in the honest way and shares with others, such a man alone can know God. Whatever money we receive through dishonest means, naturally we have got that dishonesty creeping up within ourselves. If money is earned by honest means, then you will find some rest, some peace. Further, whatever we eat and drink has its own effect. If a dog is kept on vegetable food, he is very amiable. If he is kept on meat, etc., he will be howling and growling. So it is a sattvic, i.e. strict vegetarian diet, that we have to take. And even if we take that kind of diet, we have to watch the hands through which the food passes, by whom it is cooked, and by whom it is served. That diet also carries the effect of those through whose hands the food has been prepared and served. All these things affect the man who eats it. If the food is earned by honest means, and those who prepare the food have been in the sweet remembrance of God with chaste thoughts, then you will find that when you eat, that will give you calmness within. And one more thing. If such food is prepared this way, that will have its effect. But if you eat too much, more than what is wanted, then what is the result? Diet which is digested will give you strength. That which is not digested? So diet has a great effect, you see. Eat one morsel less than you need. There was an incident with the Prophet Muhammad, who had about 40 followers with him at one time, and somebody attached a doctor to him, so that if anybody went sick, he might be treated then and there. The doctor remained with the party for 6 months, but nobody got sick. He went to Prophet Muhammad and said, "Well, I have been here 6 months. Nobody has been sick, so there is no need of my being here." The Prophet said, "Yes, so long as they do what I have ordered, have a good character, chaste thoughts, and hard work, and take one morsel less than they really need, there can be no sickness. You better go." So our earnings should be honest. That is the first step. It should not be blood squeezed from others. What is yours is yours. What is others is for the others. Don't usurp the rights of others. That is the first thing required. Otherwise, many evil thoughts will creep up in you. There was one Maharishi Shivprat Lal. One man came to him and said, "My head aches. I cannot sit in meditation for long." He said, "Look to your stomach." Then another man came the same day and said, "My mind wanders away." "Well, look to your stomach." Then another man said, "I cannot sit in meditation. My mind rebels." He said, "Look to your stomach." So this is the first elementary thing which stands as an impediment on the way you have been put on. Second thing, God has given rights, equal rights, to everybody. We are born the same way. Outer and inner construction is the same. And we are ensouled bodies. Soul is of the same essence as that of God, and God also resides in everybody. We should have no hatred for anybody. One may be standing, waiting on the table. Another one is sitting in the chair. This is due to as we have sown, so we have reaped. Higher position or lower position, richness or poorness, all these things depend on that. Sometimes a man thinks, "I am in power," or "I am a very learned man." You hate others for these reasons. Because you are very rich, because you are very learned, because you are a man of position. Humility is the only remedy for that. We are all equal, you see. If you hate them, then how do you think the God within you will receive you? So we are all equal. We are all brothers and sisters in God. Generally, we feel, "Oh, I know much better." These are the little things that affect the reservoir of our subconscious mind, and they react. The third thing is, forgive and forget. I'm giving you practical difficulties. If anybody has done anything wrong to you, you say, "All right, I forgive." But you have not forgiven that heart. You are on the watch. When can I retaliate? Forgive and forget. If you remember somebody who has done this wrong or that wrong, then naturally that element of your retribution won't go. If a child has done anything wrong, do you not forgive? And one thing, you see, each man has to work at his own level. Suppose a man with a primary grades education is there, and a college man is there. Can you expect the primary man to talk up to the level of the college man? Make some allowance. Try to understand what he says. So as I told you, one thing is honest earning and pure diet passed through, cooked by, served by people of good character in sweet remembrance of God. In the old days, a mother would not let anyone enter the kitchen when she was preparing the food. Nobody entered there. I think I mentioned to you that when I was a military accounts officer attached to a regiment in the field, one orderly was given to me to cook my food. So I told him, "Well, look here, so long as you are in the kitchen, you should go on reciting some scripture or have the sweet remembrance of God. No other thought should enter your mind." He said, "All right." Well, for 3 days he obeyed. On the fourth day, I was sitting in meditation at about 12 or 1 in the night. Something was wrong in my mind. I called that man at 1 at night. "Well, come on, who was it in your kitchen today?" He said, "No, sir, nobody was there." "Don't lie." Then he said, "Yes, there was. We were talking about such and such." Why don't we notice these things? Because we are already so filthy. If an ounce is added, we don't notice. But those who have got no filth, little things affect them. 1 gram affects them. So these are the first things, you see. Just see how far we have gone. The second thing was, as I told you, on account of our being rich or learned or a man of possessions, we hate others. We think they are not men of our own status, that they are not fit for our society. This hatred of the heart affects your mind. The third thing was, forgive and forget. After all, men are not of the same stature. Each man works according to his own level of thinking or development. Make him understand politely, but once it has been done, then forget. Forget all. If you don't forget, again and again the thought goes on, "He has done that, he has done that." That also poisons the mind and affects you. The fourth thing is chastity of thought, word, and deed. Even if any unchaste thoughts enter your mind, you think of them, your whole body is poisoned from head down to foot. Others do not know, you know. Sometimes people say, "We do not do anything, we simply enjoy." They are talking of such like things, you see, unchaste thoughts. But those very things affect you. As I explained to you the other day, every thought has its effect. As you sow, so it is sown, whether it is done in a frivolous way, for enjoyment's sake, it affects. So, there is chastity of eyes. Don't look to others with lustful thoughts, or any rancor rankling in your mind, or any enmity, or thinking that the other man, he is no good. And for the ears, don't hear anything evil about others, because a little thought comes to you and that awakens doubt, and we begin to doubt that man about which we have heard. But he may be all right. So for that reason, don't believe anything anyone tells you, "I have heard," or "I have seen," unless you hear for your own self with your ears and see with your own eyes. Then comes chastity of thought, of tongue. Anything which is not of sattvic character, you will become fond of it. You will think it is very delicious. Then that will affect your stomach. So what is wanted is chastity of everything. Eyes, ears, tongue, skin also. In these little things, we receive infection from others. That is the main thing. Chastity in itself is a blessing. As I told you, married life in accordance with the scriptures is no bar to spirituality. It is companionship, a sacrament, not a contract. God has given you a companion to help each other on the earthly sojourn, in weal or woe, and to help each other to know God. And then for begetting children, whenever they are wanted. So a life of self-restraint is a blessing, you see. Those who keep it, they will feel blessings in their body. And that chastity has its own thought by radiation. I am telling you, each thought has its own color and its own fragrance. So beware. Thoughts are very potent. This is the fourth thing. Where there is chastity, all virtues will find an abode in you. Your mind will be at rest. Whenever you sit, you will progress wonderfully. Then the fifth thing is, don't work as the unpaid apprentices of the CID of God. CID means Confidential Investigation Department. He is like that, he is like that, he is like that. You are always looking after that. God is there too. He will look after it. If you have got any friend who is clearly doing something wrong, you may tell him privately, politely, "This is no good. Don't spoil your life. I have love for you." But don't broadcast it like a plague rabbit going around everywhere. Sometimes we say, "You know how wonderful I am?" If you want, let others say you are wonderful. These things are based on what is lying in the depths of your hearts. Out of the abundance of his heart, a man speaks. So for this reason, don't think evil of anybody, because as you think, so you become. If you are always thinking, he is bad, you will get infected with that. I read a book once when I was in school that said that some missionaries went to Japan and preached one commandment of Moses, "Don't strike your woman." The people were leading very innocent lives. They asked, "Is it in your country that they beat women?" The result was, after a year's preaching, they began to beat women. I have seen men, foremost preachers in society, who preach, don't drink, but privately they do drink. I have seen, I tell you, don't drink, and all the time they are thinking of drinking, are they not? Maybe the word don't is there, but drinking is also there. Then you say, "All right, let's see what it's all about." So as you think, so you become. Further, we criticize others. We should criticize ourselves as we criticize others. Mind your own business. If you have a friend whom you love, tell him privately, "Please don't do it." What more can you do? Unless a man in his heart of hearts feels that he has done wrong, he won't follow you. Man will go by the dictates of his mind. If he is convinced that what he is doing is really wrong, then he will listen to you, otherwise not. so wanted reformers, not of others, but of themselves. Reform your own self. You will reform many men around you. People judge by what they see, not by the words you express or preach. So example is better than precept. You see, you have been given a diary for that. Criticize yourself as you would criticize others. Put down your failures and weed them out. Don't simply say, I am a sinner, I am a sinner. You will become a sinner, God knows. If you weed them out, then it is all right. And for that, you have to keep diaries. These are six things which stand in the way of our progress on the spiritual way. And there are some constructive points which help us on the way. Both things should be known. You know, mind defiles everything. A thought of lust defiles the whole body, from head down to foot. A good thought, a thought of love, permeates your whole body. So don't let the mind be vacant. A vacant mind is the home of the devil. Keep it occupied, either in your work or in the sweet remembrance of God. There is one thing that helps us with this. Do one thing at a time, wholly and solely. There is a table there with so many drawers. Open one drawer and attend to it fully. Then close down that drawer. Then open the next drawer. Attend to it fully. Then open the third drawer. Then you won't have two or three things hovering over your mind. If you read the lives of great men, you will learn many things. Napoleon Bonaparte, for example, the night before the Battle of Waterloo, at 1 a.m., he was writing the proceedings at primary school. You see how self-composed he was? There is something in some men which makes them great, you see. At 8 o'clock in the morning of the Battle of Waterloo, he was strolling in the compound where he was living. A minister was there hovering around. What are you after? Sir, the battle is to be fought at 9. That is at 9 o'clock. It is 8 o'clock now. So do one thing at a time, completely, wholly, and solely, and you will find you will save many troubles. One man comes to you to talk. You attend only a little and leave him not fully attended. Another man comes. You attend him only a little. Then a third man, a fourth man, and you do the same. The result is that they are all hovering around you, you see. They won't leave unless you satisfy them. So whatever thought strikes you, attend to it fully. Decide one way or the other, finally. How many problems do you have daily? I don't think one or two. So many problems are heaped together. Sometimes you think of that, sometimes of this. They are hovering around you. So this you can learn from Bonaparte's life, you see. Do one thing at a time. John Bunyan wrote The Pilgrim's Progress. You might have seen that book. His motto was, write something daily. And he wrote The Pilgrim's Progress. There was another man, Stanley by name. His motto was, finish something daily. That I took to be my guide. You see, finish something daily. Whatever you take, finish it. It may take 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Then you will go to bed quite buoyant and fresh, and awake the same way. Otherwise, the work which is left incomplete is hovering in your mind throughout the night. Then you worry, I must attend to this and that thing, you see. These are very little things that will help us. Keep your mind occupied always. When you are at work, be fully occupied in work. Work is worship. When you eat, be fully in your eating, because that is a gift from God. Thank God. If your attention is in eating, that eating will give you good results. Sometimes you have taken the morsel, but your thought is somewhere else. You don't know how much you have eaten, you see. So when you are at your practice, be fully at practice. These are the things that affect us. I am telling you what constructive things help us. Now, one thing more. Man is the highest in all creation. All creation has been made subservient to you. All are lower than you are. Animals, birds, reptiles. The laws of nature you are controlling. Man is next to God. So have reverence for all. God resides in everybody, whether high or low. Have reverence for all who are over you, above you, reverence for all who are around you, and reverence for all who are beneath you, under you. If you are the head of a department, love your subordinates. When I was in office, I was a superintendent. Superior officers are only pleased if you have turned out more work. It may be at the sacrifice of those working under you. They are after the subordinates. In my case, the subordinates were pleased, and the officers were also pleased. Why? I treated them alike as brothers, reverence for them. And they turned out twice the amount of work which others did, and quietly and friendly. These are the practical things which help us. So you are the head of all creation. Excuse me, next to God. Great is man, and you must have reverence for all. All are our brothers, our younger brothers in the family of God, whether they are around you, above you, or below you. And one more thing. Be true to your own self. We deceive our own self first. Then we deceive others, telling lies, usurping others' rights. Then we say something, but we mean something else. What your heart means, let your brain think and your mouth say. When these three agree, then that is true. So as I have told you, wanted reformers, not of others, but of themselves. God is within you. The master power is within you. But Jamal Singh initiated somebody. He used to say, look here, now I am residing within you. Take care, I am looking after you now. Do we think like that? If you think somebody is watching you, can you do anything wrong? So be true to your own self. Then you will fear nothing in the world. The man who is not true to himself, he will have to tell lies. Excuse me, why? Because he is afraid the secret will be out. He will speak to one man a few words, and he will talk to another, because at heart of hearts he is in fear. Then you will find, after a month or two, the whole statement will change. So the man who betrays his own self is not true to his own self. He has to tell hundreds of lies. To keep one thing secret, he has to tell hundreds of lies. But a secret is never a secret. The cat must be out of the bag. If you don't watch it, others do see it. So be true to your own self. These are simple words, but they carry great meaning. They provide you with greatness of culture, I would say, and ultimately you will learn humility. So knowledge means what? Knowledge means service. God resides in every heart, and a man is one who is of service to others, not to his own self only. Then further, knowledge means what? Fellowship. We are all brothers and sisters in God. We all go together. We are all reading in one class to pass the same examination, to control our mind, to know our higher self, and to know God. So these are the things which help us. I'll stop there. I was reading Little Things, a talk given by Master Kripal Singh, November 1st, 1972, at the Belmont Hotel, Chicago. Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Claire, for reading such important little things for us. There were 86 of us in today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for sparing your valuable time and joining us in the satsang. And thank you, Master, for keeping us in your feet.
So God in man unites us in such a relation which never broken, even after leaving the body. So we have to just judge how far we have gone. There is no question of high or low, you see, rich or poor. You see, who have done it?